Maybe we should pause about this one next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michael.
Always happy to be back with you in the studio. Even though we're in different studios, I'm still happy to be back.
Well, I'm happy that we're here, but I'm not real happy about the subject matter that we got to take on today. Ladies and gentlemen, there are times when we're doing the research for programs that both Chuck and I take a moment and pause and ask ourselves the question, is this really happening? And this one that we're going to talk about today is no exception. But Chuck, honestly, for me, I think it might go to the top of the heap of unbelievable things that are actually really happening in our culture, right?
Well, I can tell you, Barry, it's getting very difficult for me to be shocked anymore. But this one was a little shocking. You know, I've become kind of immune to that after all the just the stuff that we've seen in the last few years, what's coming out of federal, state, local government entities of all types, the types of things we're seeing. But this was a little shocking to me.
And it should be. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking for a while now on this program about a lot of issues, specifically about issues surrounding the Second Amendment, which happens to be the topic du jour in our national conversation. Everything from the Newtown shooting to politicians wanting to have wide gun control bans to groups like Gun Owners of America and even the NRA standing up against that. And the public debate and discussion has generated quite a bit of things happening, including, and we've reported on this, various types of guns being unavailable for sale because they're just out of them. Certain types of magazines. If you are a sporting enthusiast or a target shooter, you just go and try to find at your local sporting goods store or your Walmart something like 22 long rifle bullets. They just aren't out there because many manufacturers are so far behind in production because of huge amounts of orders and demand. Well, Chuck, we'd also talked about this, that one of the areas of huge demand, especially for ammunition right now, is the federal government. Department of Homeland Security, the National Weather Service. I mean, I could go on, the list goes on and on of various agencies that you wouldn't think really would need firearms, who are ordering up millions, if not billions, with a B, billions of rounds of live ammunition. Matter of fact, I think Homeland Security just put in an order for another 1.9 billion rounds of various types of ammunition, everything from 9mm to 45 auto. I mean, you name it.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. There are a couple of different calibers. Good luck finding them.
Yes, indeed.
45, 9mm. There are other stuff you can find. It's out there, but 223 is really hard to get. Even 30-06 is getting difficult to get, and that's an obsolete load. So they're not all production is basically being turned over to these government contracts. And what's interesting about that is that enough. Manufacturers are now saying, well, if you're in a gun-restrictive state or if you're working for the federal government, we're not going to fill your orders because they know where their bread's buttered on. It's not with federal contracts, not on the gun manufacturing side. It is with Joe Average out here in the street. That's where they make their real money.
Yeah. Well, but you see, that's the whole point is it's not just the gun manufacturers that are, shall we say, benefiting from the largesse of the federal government funded by we, the taxpayers. There's another company out there, Chuck, who has just basically landed $5.5 million in federal government contracts to provide things that are related to guns and shooting. This is the reason why, though, ladies and gentlemen, that Chuck and I have both said that we're pretty aghast at this, because the company is a group out of Minnesota called LawEnforcementTargets.inc, and the contracts that they've landed with the federal government, what do they provide, Chuck?
They provide non-standard, a little bit unusual targets with pictures on them.
Yes, that's right.
And the pictures that they're using are things like 9-year-old boys, pregnant women, grandfathers. Let's see. There's one set called Young Girl and Little Brother, Older Woman. There are a number of non-traditionals. And, of course, For instance, the one I'm looking at the moment, there are a couple of these, but the one I'm looking at, No More Hesitation, it's called. And this is from their website. It's NMH number one, and it is a pregnant, very pregnant woman, probably 8 or 9 months, holding some kind of a pistol and pointing it directly at the person who is going to be doing the target shooting.
Yes, they're called No More Hesitation Targets. And they're specifically designed, ladies and gentlemen. They have, as Chuck mentioned, non-traditional targets on them. They are average normal citizens, whether it be a pregnant woman or a little child or old people. These are targets that are actually used and sold to law enforcement agencies to help desensitize their officers to the idea of using lethal force on a quote-unquote non-traditional target, such as a little boy with a handgun or a pregnant woman with a Beretta. And for less than 99 cents a target, police can shoot at real-life images, quote, designed to give officers the experience of dealing with deadly force shooting scenarios with subjects that are not the norm during training. Because, you know, Chuck, unlike silhouette targets, these are actually photo targets of real people in situations, and it's done in such a way, ladies and gentlemen, that the imagery of the person is very crisp and clear and up front, and then the entire background is faded and muted so that it actually pops the target out even more. These are, again, this is a company out of Minnesota that is making these targets, and they're doing a land office business. Now, I took a look. There's a website called usaspending.com, and it has a list of the contracts that Law Enforcement Targets Incorporated have let with the federal government. And Chuck, there are like hundreds of thousands of dollars to Homeland Security for what they call paper products. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what they're talking about are these targets. So our Department of Homeland Security and other federal agencies are actually spending our tax dollars to buy explicit targets of normal citizenry, because sometimes, Chuck and I, and if you've ever been seen one of these things with the shoot arounds with the police in the training areas, when they pop something up, it's usually somebody who looks like a criminal with a mask or scars all over him or something. And you can immediately tell who the bad guy is versus who is the innocent bystander. Well, these targets change that parameter.
If you've ever seen the movie Magnum Force, where they go through the shooting competition and they pop up targets and you have to make a split-second decision on whether it's a bad guy or a good guy. And there's a scene in there where Dirty Harry essentially loses the competition because he accidentally shoots a good guy. It's sort of a metaphor for what's going on in the movie. But yeah, that's the old style. The new style, and I'm actually reading something from a website that we're going to put a link up to called freedominourtime.blogspot.com. This is Pro Libertate, which is William Norman Grigg. And Grigg is pointing out something that everybody, I'm sure, has forgotten by now. And that is that a few years ago, the news media had as he says, quote, the media experienced a brief but acute spasm of indignation over the fact that pictures of Obama were being used as targets at arcade games. What's the difference then between having a picture of Obama, which I agree, you shouldn't put the president's picture on our arcade games to shoot at. I think that's really bad plan, really bad idea.
I do too.
But how is it not a bad idea then to put a pregnant woman, a 9-year-old boy, a young girl and her little brother, or an old lady, a grandmotherly type, on these targets as well? And with the stated purpose, is to condition the officers to overcome the natural and indispensable reluctance to kill the innocent and helpless. This is summarized in the company's sales slogan, No More Hesitation.
Right. Now, Chuck, there's a comment from the marketing department of Law Enforcement Targets Incorporated that is quoted in a blog article on Reason.com by Mike Riggs, and he actually got this from the marketing department at Law Enforcement Targets, and I quote, "The subjects in NMH, that's No More Hesitation, targets, were chosen in order to give the officers the experience of dealing with deadly force shooting scenarios with subjects that are not the norm during training. I found," this is still the marketing department talking, ladies and gentlemen, I found while speaking with officers and trainers in the law enforcement community that there is a hesitation on the part of cops when deadly force is required on subjects with atypical age, frailty, or condition. And in parentheses it says, one officer explaining that he enlarged photos of his own kids to use as targets so that he would not be caught off guard with such a drastically new experience while on duty, end parentheses. I'm continuing. This hesitation time may be only seconds, but that is not acceptable when officers are losing their lives in these same situations. The goal of NMH, no more hesitation, is to break that stereotype on the range, regardless of how slim the chances are of encountering a real-life scenario that involves a child, a pregnant woman, etc. If that initial hesitation time can be cut down due to range experience, the officer and community are better served. Chuck, I'm not sure which I find a little bit more appalling, the marketing department basically saying, hey, you know what, we just want to better serve the community by getting law enforcement officials desensitized to shooting average citizens, or by the one officer that they reference in there who actually blew up photos of his own kids to shoot at.
Well, considering the rate of domestic violence cases among police, that's a frightening scenario to me.
Yeah, I think it's all a frightening scenario. But ladies and gentlemen, this company, again, is doing gangbusters. $5.5 million in contracts to provide basically paper targets to federal law enforcement officials, to the law enforcement community. And they also, they work locally. They've got a $5.4 million contract with the state of Minnesota, which they live in. But their major agencies, Department of Defense, $3.12 million. Department of Homeland Security, $1.91 million. The Department of Energy, $150,000. The Department of State, $133,000. Hey, you think they might have needed those during the Benghazi raid, Chuck?
Well, since
they probably ordered those after the raid.
I was going to say, since they didn't bother to send anybody, the answer is no.
And it's funny, I don't see any Middle Eastern protesters angry at a video depiction of Muhammad as one of these targets.
Exactly. Why are typically American scenes, I mean, some of these kids are wearing, you know, college sweatshirts and that kind of thing. Why are these being typical American? This is not about, I'll be quite honest, this is about desensitizing cops and federal agents from shooting American citizens. I mean, that's the bottom line. I cannot imagine, Barry, I don't know what the statistics are, but I cannot imagine that cops are in too many deadly situations with nine-year-old boys with a loaded...
Okay, here's another one to kind of chill the cockles of your heart. Well, first of all, let me say that Minnesota, they don't have a $5.4 million contract with the state of Minnesota. That's where they are located. So these are federal contracts of $5.4 million. Who's one of the top five prime award sub-agencies for these paper targets?
Homeland Security, I guess.
Number two on the list with almost $1 million spent, $987,000, the Transportation Security Administration, TSA.
Oh, boy. That's really interesting. Have you ever seen the TSA ever have to draw down on anybody or heard about anybody?
I would hope not.
Yeah. That would make traveling even more interesting, to say the least.
And they go to everything here, Chuck. I mean, they've got these top 10 prime awards, individual equipment to the Department of Defense, paper and paper board to the Department of Homeland Security, training aids. That, my guess, is probably what these targets are. That's $155,000 to the Department of Homeland Security, and if these paper targets are 99 cents apiece, you're looking at 160,000 paper targets.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just incredible, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, and it's funny because you can find this at usaspending.gov, and the blogspot at reason.com had put a link to this, and of course, we're going to put it up on the website. But, ladies and gentlemen, we have reason. People have always said that you shouldn't have any reason to fear your government. I'm starting to think that maybe we are starting to see some reason.
Well, Barry, there's an old saying, and we are running out of time, but there's an old saying that I fear the government that fears my gun. Because there's no fear of my gun in any government. But suddenly, they fear me enough to want to train to shoot my daughters and my wife. And me.
Right.
There's something wrong with that scenario.
There's something desperately wrong with this scenario, ladies and gentlemen. That's part of the reason why we're here. letting you know what's going on.
And we are out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.